With that, we bring in Mount Carmel's own, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Brett Veach. Brett, great to have you with us. Your hometown group is excited to have you on.
How you guys doing? I hope the snow is letting up there. I've been following the weather.com. I've been on it every day checking out Tampa's weather and seeing if we're going to get rain. And couldn't help to notice all the snow you guys are getting back there on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys are all safe.
Yeah, a lot. About 18 inches in the valley, and then here in State College, about 12. So
you guys are lucky then, right?
Yeah, Again, here at Penn State, we get away scot-free every time.
Exactly.
Brett, one of the keys to your job, obviously, is roster construction. You've been able to keep your core group together because getting there once is hard. Getting there twice is an incredible accomplishment. How important was the construction of the Mahomes contract to then allow you to keep your core group together with other key players?
Well, yeah, it was a big part of it. And, certainly when you're paying someone like Pat Mahomes, the biggest contract in U.S. history, there's going to be challenges in regards to how you fill out the rest of your roster. But the cool thing was that, we had worked on this for years, and I joke with people all the time that, we believed in Pat from the moment we drafted him, and really by his second year, we were already throwing ideas and concepts. And, the only thing that changed, I think, from the time that Pat got here to the offseason was, the total dollar amount. So I think we had always, from the time we drafted him, prepared for a franchise-type quarterback. But, after that first season as a starter, when he did things that, we knew were possible, but when he did them so quickly, we quickly thought, well, listen, this guy may set the market in a couple of years. And we started early on the process, and, I give my cap guys a lot of credit a couple of years ago when, he was still a few years away from being in this position to sign. We were like, why are we thinking about, comparing markets? And why are we thinking about this quarterback or that quarterback? Why don't we just talk about a baseball contract? And we threw out Mike Trout's contract, and I think that was one of the first deals that we looked at. So, early on, just like Pat is kind of an outside-the-box player, we kind of approached his contract extension and negotiation with that mindset, like, let's not look at what past markets have done. Let's, recreate what it looks like. And that's why, a 10-year deal is kind of unprecedented. But that's the faith we had in him. And it always takes two to make things work. So you have to have a player and an agent that is willing to buy into that. So Pat, in regards to, on one end, he's the highest paid player in the league. But on the other end, when you do a long contract like that, there's a lot of flexibility and maneuverability within those years and how it's structured. So that will allow for us to potentially move money around and to get talent. And, I think Pat understood that he'll be taken care of. And but at the same time, he also knows there's a lot of talent in this building and wants to see those players stay here. So by doing a long contract, it'll allow us to have some maneuverability. So a huge tribute to Pat and his representation for allowing us to get creative.
To me, Brett, it's always been invaluable to actually physically be at a practice. It's invaluable to see things for yourself. Tape is invaluable. There's no getting around. Video is invaluable. You went down to Texas Tech yourself, and I think you were looking at somebody else. What was it when you actually saw him in person that made you go back to Andy Reid and say, you know what, we got to talk about something?
Well, yeah, there was a couple. Now, fortunately, we were here in Kansas City, and being located very close to Lawrence, Kansas, and Manhattan, we had a chance to see him, right? So, there were quick drives to see him play at K-State and quick drives to see him play at Kansas. But also, Steve, the moment that really sticks out was that I drove to Ames, Iowa to see him play at Iowa State. And that game, they got completely annihilated. And I remember it was – I don't remember exactly, but it felt like, even in the press box, but just walking to the press box, it felt like it was in the single digits that day. And the wind was swirling, maybe 15, 20, 25 mile an hour winds. And, you saw him cut the ball early on in pregame, but also you saw him face a bunch of adversity. Early in the game, he went down with a shoulder injury, went back in the game, made some pretty unbelievable throws under duress. The game was they were getting completely blown out at halftime. I believe it was 35-7 or something like that at halftime. He left again in the second quarter. The kid kind of made it known that he was going to come out. So in your mind, you're thinking, okay, they're not bowl eligible. It's 35-7. The only thing he has at stake here is getting hurt in this game. So I actually packed up my bags to leave. And as I was walking back out of the stadium, I saw him on the field for the third quarter. Now, they went on to lose the game, and they didn't have a comeback or anything like that. But that's just his mindset. Like, he had nothing to play for, but he wanted to play because he wanted to compete. So when you factor in all the talent and you factor in, you know, the love of the game and the compete and the way he was brought up and his pedigree, you know, your mind starts to get creative and you think, well, what if you put him with Andy Reid? And what if you surrounded him with some talent? So that's kind of where it all started. But it was really a moment that hope people won't look at and say, you know, a blowout loss to Iowa State was when you had this epiphany. But really, that's kind of when you start thinking about all the intangibles, like you mentioned, that, you know, you're not going to see on tape, but you'll see it in person if you're there. And a 42-7 loss to Iowa State is not going to tell you a lot if you just watch the tape. But if you're there and you see what he went through, it means a lot more.
Last year, you know, one of the pluses I have in working Penn State football games with my broadcast partner, Jack Hamm, is I get a great perspective on a lot of things. And the player that he locked in on and probably talked to me about more last season than anybody else, he said, Steve, every time I watch this Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he said, that's a running back that can not only run, but man, he runs legitimate routes out of the backfield. So the linebacker comes out in there. You know, I mean, you're drafting last. He comes to your spot. What did you see that say, you know what, he can make an explosive offense even better?
It's funny because, you know, when you look at the tag, and I'm actually looking at my depth chart right now, and I had heard a lot about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and, you know, my staff loved the kid and raved about the kid. And I remember looking at the tag before I put the tape on, and I saw 5072, you know, 458. I'm thinking to myself, okay, 5072, you know, 458 or 456, I think he ran. And I was like, man, this guy better be really good. I mean, you know, to play in this league at 5'7" and run, you know, 4'5", 4'5", 4'5", 8". And you put the tape on, and the guy has unbelievable vision. As you mentioned, Steve, a phenomenal route runner, a mismatch, such a low center of gravity. And, you know, pound for, you know, Coach Reed and I talk about this all the time. He's probably the toughest player on our team, pound for pound. And it's, you know, this is, you know, as you see in high school and in college, but when you get to the NFL, I mean, the contact and some of the violence of the hits are just amazing. And to see this kid, it takes two or three people to bring him down. So for being such a small player, I mean, he's the rare 5'7", he's an in-between tackle runner, which, you know, to me, he reminded me a lot of Brian Westbrook, because Brian was like that too, where, you know, Brian was small, but he had just an innate ability to finish runs moving forward. And despite being small and not being 6'2", 225, always required the defense to have two or three arms around him, or he was going to make plays. And he's done that all year. Got banged up a little in the New Orleans game, and you know, he missed some time. But, you know, fortunately for us, he was able to come back last week. And, you know, I think with the extra week we've had before the Super Bowl, really looking forward to him being out there and being at full go for Sunday, because we're going to need him.
Last year, one of your starters in the offensive line at guard was Stefan Wisniewski from Penn State. And, of course, he's a 10-year guy, so, you know, eventually he moves on to the Steelers. But when you had a chance to get him back, you brought him back. Now, this is not a high-profile move. So in moves like that, Brett, what does trust mean for Brett Veach when he makes a move like that? What does trust mean for Andy Reid in bringing a player like that back?
Well, I mean, he's a Penn State lineman, right? So you're right. It goes without saying. I mean, if you played on the old line at Penn State, he's going to come through for you. But no, listen, it means a lot. And, you know, we joked the other day, you know, death, taxes, and Stefan Wisniewski starting the Super Bowl. I mean, the guy just, you know, has a way of you know, being there. He did it for Philadelphia, and then when he came here, and, you know, he started for us last year in the Super Bowl. You know, I think when he went to Philly, he was a backup that earned his way onto the roster, and then he came to us midway through the season, and you know, extremely smart, tough, competitive. I mean, when he plays, it's not always the prettiest, but he finds a way to get things done, knows what he's doing, and loves to compete. And even when we signed him in the middle of the season, you know, from my standpoint, I mean, you always have to prepare for the what ifs, and you never know. And I mean, look, we've lost like four or five linemen this year. Now, I wouldn't have expected that, but I approached it as if we need a veteran offensive lineman at some point, there's no one more than I trust than him, because he's going to know how we do things. He's going to know his assignments. He's going to prepare. He's you know, the textbook definition of what it means to be a professional. He handles everything the right way, and he's always prepared. And when opportunities present themselves to him, he makes the most of them. And you know, that's what we knew we were getting. And last year we signed him midway, and he helped us win a Super Bowl as a starter. And now he's in the same position this year, and hopefully we have the same outcome.
One final question for you, Brett. We really appreciate your time very much. I've always felt that where you grow up sometimes can really set a foundation for who you are, what your interests are, and so forth. What did and what does Mount Carmel continue to mean to you?
Oh, I mean, listen, it's a special place. And, you know, I tell people all the time that, you know, listen, first and foremost, I mean, I'm blessed with a great family, and you know, they taught me everything I know. But I think, you know, growing up in Mount Carmel and the passion they have for the sport of football, you know, this profession, you know, it's tough, and, you know, there's a lot of sacrifices you have to make, to move up and move on. And I think it's, you know, growing up in a town like Mount Carmel where football was so important to me at an early age, it really fueled that fire. And, you know, football wasn't important to me when I got a chance to work in the NFL. Football has always been important to me. It was always important to me because of the place I grew up in, because it was important to Mount Carmel. And so I carry that with me where I go. You know, if I grew up in some other town in some other state, you know, would I have had the ability to sacrifice so much to be in this position? Probably not. So at the end of the day, you know, to me, it's like Mount Carmel and being raised in that town is really the reason why I'm here. And, you know, the people that I grew up with, and, you know, we all have that shared that same love and passion for the game. And, you know, I've carried it with me forever. And, you know, again, I think if I grew up somewhere else, I'm probably not here talking to you today.
Brett, congratulations on what you've accomplished so far, and best of luck coming up on Sunday with Tampa Bay. We appreciate the time you gave us very, very much, and appreciate you very much.
Anytime. Always enjoy catching up, and look forward to seeing Beaver Stadium packed next year, and you guys having fun as you always do.
Appreciate that very much, Brett. Thank you so much. Good luck Sunday.
Thank you.
Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mount Carmel's own.